All right, this is Roberto. You are back with another Steambox podcast. Today, we are back with our Highlander homies. My Steambox students from Highlander, if you could please unmute your microphones and say what's up to the world.
What's up?
Good morning.
We're good.
¿Qué lo que?
Yo, I honestly didn't think about it until now. We've been number one for three consecutive weeks before, but never 4 weeks until last week. And this is the first time ever that this podcast has been number one in the world in education for 5 weeks in a row. So shout out to y'all. Shout out to the students here at Highlander Charter School. That is big. That is impressive.
It's because of me.
It's because of you. It's because of Yanhel. And people like Yanhel and Pato for always leading Yanhel, because Yanhel likes to bite whatever Pato is doing. Also, specifically, this was we covered Women's History Month, and it's so appropriate that the main event for Women's History Month is the new mayor of Central Falls, the first woman mayor of Central Falls ever, the first Latina mayor in Rhode Island history, breaking all kinds of glass ceilings, Mayor Maria Rivera. Welcome, Ms. Rivera.
Ms. Thank Mayor. You. I'm still letting that sink in.
Yes.
I'm still letting that sink in. It's been quite the ride. But thank you for the opportunity. I'm so happy to be here with all of you. And congratulations on being number one.
Thank you. I appreciate it. These students kind of earned it. Like, they have some really dope, hard-hitting questions sometimes. And they're growing, right? Like, last week we had the Celtics on, and Yanhel was like, yo, how do I complain about the Celtics' poor performance? And I was like, yo, come up with actual stats and numbers. And he did, and he asked a really meaningful question without it being insulting. So I think it's things like that. It's those kinds of evolutions that are really working for us. But also the balance between those dope questions and then when Pato asks where you like to get your favorite nuggets from. So I think it's that kind of balance that's doing it for us. But yeah, that glass ceiling, I can't believe that your name, and the world can't see this, right? The world's only listening to us. But your name on here is Mayor Maria Rivera, right? So from Puerto Rico, like me and my family. But if I was you, I would definitely have first Rhode Island woman mayor, first Central Falls woman mayor, first Latina mayor in Rhode Island, Maria. I'd have the longest gangster tag name, and you're not doing that. So kudos to you for keeping your ego in check.
But thank you, because you're giving me ideas. I might change it.
From now on, when you have to wear those My Name Is, you know, those name tags, but definitely first. Do that. Definitely do that. Have it like one paragraph long. Where in Puerto Rico are you from?
Cedra.
Okay. Okay.
El Campo, which yep. is next to Caguas. It's like in between Caguas and Calle.
Oh, my family's from Aguadilla. We from the Western and
West Coast.
Yep.
I love the West Coast. They have the best beaches. If it was up to me, I'd be doing politics in Puerto Rico.
Yo, that's so interesting. One of the students' questions was about that. And I hope you ask whichever student that was. I really appreciate that. I have a million questions for you, but I think I want to kick it over to the students. So I'm starting with Isaiah. Isaiah, what's your question for Mayor Maria Rivera?
Hi, nice to meet you again. I actually met you when I went to my old school in Central Falls. It was called Segway. You came? Yeah. But my question for you is, what's your main target within the community that you are going to like try to address first now being elected mayor?
There's a lot of things that I want to work on. I think at the beginning, like the beginning for me was not easy, because I'm not sure if you heard, but I let go of the colonel here in the city who had been here for years. He worked in this community for years, and I hired the first Black colonel in the city of Central Falls and the only Black colonel across the state. So that was a huge challenge, but that is one of the things that I want to start changing across our city, right? It's giving opportunities to people who deserve to be in these positions, but people of color. This community is represented, and it's a diverse community that's represented by people of color. We should be in these positions because we represent this community, which is exactly what I've done. I've started from the beginning. Everybody who works in my department, in the directors, almost every director is a person of color. Mm. at City Hall right now, especially women.
You broke my brain with that. You broke everybody's brain with that because one, I probably have a negative perception of policing right now in its current form. And when I really struggle is when there's a cop who I actually appreciate, and Anthony Robeson, absolutely, like this dude's a hero, but he was policing in Providence. And I feel like the community probably gave you some pushback for reaching into Providence. Why was it important for you to reach outside of Central Falls for the top cop?
I don't think, you know, I didn't make a decision of reaching out of the city to look for a colonel. I had met him like 3 years ago. There were a lot of conversations. He had come into the city a lot. And I followed him for 3 years to see the work that he was doing. In Central Falls, there has been a lot of work that has been done with the police department and the community, but there's still work that needs to be done, right? And in strengthening that relationship, when I talk about Colonel Robeson, I don't talk about someone who I think is going to go out there and address people in a negative way, right? It's about working together, and I see that from him. Like, we work together. I love the fact that he likes to walk the streets. I love the fact that he likes to just stop at random places and have conversations. I love the fact that if he sees youth on the street, that he stops and has conversations with them. It doesn't have to be a negative relationship between the police department and the community.
He is a community builder.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I shake my fist at him because he's ruining my perception of police, because he really is the most thoughtful, sweetest dude. So yeah, thank you for that. Jada, what is your question?
Hi.
Hi, Jada.
I was writing it down so I won't forget. All right. What are the motives you have as being mayor, and what brought you to like want to be the first Latina mayor? And what do you think of McDonald's chicken nuggets?
That's a lot.
Well, I'll answer that one first. I haven't had McDonald's chicken nuggets in I don't know how long. But I tell everybody, I didn't ask to be in this position. My community put me here, right? This isn't something that I thought about 7 years ago and said, I'm going to run for office and I want to be the first woman and the first Latina. This is not how this happened. I took a leadership class in 2014 that opened my eyes about why we should be engaged, especially us people of color. Like, we need to be engaged. We need to be that voice for those who don't have a voice. We need to continue opening doors for those who don't know what door to open or where to go open a door. So after that leadership class, I started getting a little bit more involved, and I started getting engaged in the community, and the community has put me here. This is not something that I said, I want to be mayor or I want to be the council president, because before this, I was the first female council president here in the city as well. This is not something that I asked for. The community has put me here, so I owe it to the community. And it's because of the type of work that I do. And I tell everybody, I try to keep I'm an elected official, but I try to keep the politics out of it.
You talked about being the voice for the voiceless, right? And I think that's important. That's a lot of my motivation as well. What was another, can you give me like one or two more examples? One would be fine. For something early on in your career when you were like, I have to do something about this.
This is going to make me cry, Roberto.
It wouldn't be the first time on this podcast. These students have a knack for doing that.
I'm going to brief it up real quick. When kids were being put in cages, I had a mom here who hadn't seen her kids in 12 years, and her kids were in those cages. When she called me, like on a Thursday, that was like, eso me consumió, right? And I couldn't just stay still. I'm just going to tell you that by Wednesday, she had her kids here in the city of Central Falls.
Yo, you're answering the calls. That's beautiful.
Yes, that's important to me. This is why I love what I do. Like, it's about me working with them. It's not about, to be honest with you, sitting in this chair gives me anxiety because I don't want to be sitting behind a desk. My title is not so that I'm sitting behind a desk just telling everybody to do my job. It's about me. Like, I can't wait for COVID to finish because these Zooms, I'm in Zooms all freaking day. I want to be out in the community doing work.
So So there's a contrast because your community also famously, while they have a beautiful new sports complex, right across the street, they have the Wyatt Detention Center. And if we could just for a moment, and I don't want to ruin this because I know the students have a bunch of questions, but if we could just for a moment touch on that, I'm conflicted because if we get the Wyatt Detention Center out of Central Falls, then we're putting our undocumented citizens in other communities where they'll probably even be less welcome. You know what I mean?
And mistreated.
Right. Like,
this is, ask your question.
But that kind of is my question, because if we saw on video that some of their guards are willing to run over our community members who are stating objections to the undocumented citizens being in there, then how do we feel like they're being treated right in your community?
This is tough. It's tough. I can tell you another story about there. I went by myself to pick up 4 inmates that were transferred from the Wyatt that were going to be released back to their families, undocumented. Everybody wanted to kill me. They were like, are you crazy? ¿Cómo te vas a ir sola? I drove to Boston because they transferred them from here to another detention facility to pick them up, to put them on the train and on a bus and on an airplane so that they can go back to their families. So I asked them questions while they're sitting in the back of the car. I'm asking them questions because I wanted to know how they were being treated here at the Wyatt. And they all said to me that they preferred being here than being in another facility because of the way they were being treated in Texas. So it's hard. If it was up to me, I would not have that detention facility here. I wish it was easy for us to be able to say, you know what, we're going to shut them down. It's not an easy process. There's a lawsuit right now. We're being sued for a lot of money. But at the same time, if they're not here, they're somewhere else where they're being treated worst.
Right.
So it's a tough call.
That is a tough call. That's what weighs on me whenever we're out there. Whenever I'm out there stating objections to the Wyatt Detention Center, I keep thinking, well, this might be one of the safer places for these people to be.
Yes.
But it is such a contrast because you have that beautiful sports complex for the children to go and play while they look at, you know what I mean, models of what becomes of people who look like them right across the street. Jada, this was your question. Do you want to react?
Oh my God. For one, you have a beautiful heart. Oh my God. Because not everybody does that. And like, just to hear that there's good people like you out there, like, it just warms my heart.
You need to come visit me. Okay. We can do some work together.
Oh my God. Steambox has big plans for Central Falls, but I don't feel like this is an appropriate time for me to start showboating and selling. Sabdiel, what's your question for the mayor?
Hi, First Wednesday. Hello.
Hi.
You know, I had to switch up my question because it is interesting that you spoke about diversity hires. My wondering is, if you want me to say in Spanish, because I am Dominican, I'll say in Spanish, but I can say in English too.
Como tú quieras.
Okay. I was wondering if when you hire people for diversity wise, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
My question is, are you gonna in your, you know, in your cycle, in your mayor cycle, are you going to keep hiring diversity in every position of the government that you...
I couldn't hear you, honey.
Oh, yeah. My question is, you said diversity, you hire people by diversity's sake. My question is, are you going to keep hiring people from like different races? Diversity, or are you going to have them qualified?
Well, they have to be, they're also qualified. Like I have two members of my staff that have PhDs. One is 26 years old. The colonel has a PhD, right? So I'm also giving opportunities to leaders who are more than qualified for these positions that other people don't want to give opportunities to. And I know that they're more than qualified to fill these positions.
I know you just said it very specifically, but one more time for the world, because Sabdiel asks a really good question. A lot of people in this day and age are worried about overcorrecting. I'm certainly not, because we got so much work to do, but people do have reasonable questions about the hires, about the movements. So just one more time for the world. And again, thank you, Sabdiel, for such a good question. Did we hire my friend, Anthony Roberson, just because he's Black? right? Or is there more involved?
Absolutely, there's more involved. It's not just because he's Black. Like, I love the fact that he's Black, right? But because he's Black, other places are not going to give him an opportunity. For me, he's more than qualified for the position. Like, this guy has a PhD, and the work that he does with the community, it's what our communities need.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's a situation at URI where somebody was asking about, they're trying to do diversity hires, and they're going to hire one more Dominican person because in this round of hiring, they need to make it equal. And I'm like, if you want to make it equal, your whole staff is white. You need to hire all
across the board. It's not just
if you want, yes. Because your whole system, your whole institution is white. Yeah,
I can give you, so real quick, I worked at DHS at the Department of Human Services. That was a huge argument, right? We had 14 supervisors. They were all white. But they would say that they had diversity because everybody under the supervisors was of color. So that's how they try to balance it out. And that's not the way it works.
Appreciate you. Matthias, what's your question for Mayor Rivera?
Hello, Ms. Rivera. My name is Matthias. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
My question for you is, when you were first elected as mayor, how did, you know, the people you worked with in the community treat you?
The amount of support and love that I get from this community is unbelievable. I feel like they've known me for years of being out in the community, and I've only been active, like really, really active in the community for like the last 6 years. But you would think that I've been active in this community for more than 6 years because of the way the community reacts with me. I walk into the high rises, the elderly high rises, people who are disabled and elderly, they clap when I walk in because of the way I treat them. So I really can't ask for more of this community of the way they are with me.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Matthias. Calvin, what is your question for Mayor Rivera?
I don't know if you know about this, but I wanted to ask, how do you feel about the House bill? If not, that's going on.
What House bill?
There are a number of House bills. Yeah. There's one to put a moratorium on charter schools. There's one so that you
can... I believe the 6030.
No, 607.
Yeah, 67.
Can you tell us can you give us the narrative for the House bill if you're looking at it?
Pretty much they want to talk about how they should like school should stop talking about racism and sexism, like stuff like that. Like they should stop talking about that type of stuff.
Have you seen this?
I have not seen that bill.
Because we talked about it today in English class. So I just want to.
Yeah, I put it in chat right now.
I have not seen it, and it's probably because it's not introduced by our state rep or senator here. Because I discuss the bills with them every week, like the bills that they submit. But is it, it's to prohibit? I think it's wrong. If it's about prohibiting, it's absolutely wrong because you should be able to have these open conversations, just like having open conversations right now about sexism and racism.
It's interesting, by the wording of the bill, you wouldn't even be able to talk about the bill right now because I have students here. I wouldn't even be allowed to talk about the bill because the bill involves race. Yeah, it was, there are three super conservatives, one's from Coventry, one's from Providence, and one's from, I don't remember the other area of Rhode Island, but yeah, it's a really tough bill. This was something that was written under Trump, and it went around, you know how they, it was like one of those memos that gets forwarded? So it's being introduced in a lot of places, but...
That's not going to pass.
Yeah, it's really rough. It's weird to even see it in its form, though. It was weird for me to even see that thing out there. Argelis, I'm going to give you a second to unmute your microphone. I feel like every time I come to you, Argelis, you're in the middle of eating soup, right? So Argelis, I'm giving you a second to unmute your microphone and ask Mayor Rivera your question.
Is it Argelis?
Yes. Argelis. All right, so my question for you is, what's one thing you want to accomplish as the mayor that the others behind you didn't, or Like, what's one task?
That's so tough because I want to do so many things. One thing we don't have in the city that I've been having conversations about is bringing a community center back. We haven't had a community center for years here in the city. That's one of my priorities. But the other thing is getting a brand new high school here for our students, which I'm also having conversations about, and I'm hoping that we can get that done.
It's rough. The budget is so rough. And it seemed like if the boiler broke, right? If the boiler broke in your high school last year, that would put everything, just the boiler alone, would throw everything into chaos over there. What's budgeting like versus your goals? So you have to now budget and you have all of these goals. That has to be a tricky compromise.
It is pretty tricky. And my directors are not happy with me because when I came in January, I said, you can't spend any money until I know where our budget is. So we have a new finance director, and until I know exactly where our budget is, there's a hold. I can't, you know, I wish that we did a better job of talking to kids about how a budget works in a city. And even residents like in Central Falls here, right, that don't understand the process and don't understand why taxes need to be increased at times because of the expenses, right? So exactly, a boiler breaks. That money needs to come from somewhere. So it's tough to try to like budget and run the city because we want to do great things. We want to do awesome things in the city, but we can't just do things because everything costs money. The rescue plan that just passed, we were told the city was going to get about $8.9 million. It's reduced to $1.9 million. So we had all these plans for accomplishing all these things in the city with infrastructure, the community center. Everything has to change because it was reduced by $8 million almost, like $7 million.
They literally decimated.
Well, you know why? Because they're basing it on population, not the needs of the community. Like Smithfield is getting more money than Central Falls when there's more need here.
We are, I'm only going to throw little darts out there, but we are looking to capitalize on the successes that we have at Highlander and other places. I'm targeting that center right across the street from the high school to be able to contribute with the students. I've already got some student leaders out there who are doing great work with us, like the hackathons and stuff. And I can't wait to go in there and contribute as best I can without even taking a dime from city budget. So that's on my agenda.
That's awesome. And you also have we had conversations with the RIC Hub?
Yep.
Because that's another possibility.
Yes. Yes. And I will follow up. We've got some great conversations. Great things were in place. And then the pandemic hit. And now we have a new mayor. So
who wants to work with you?
Yeah, I will make sure I run all of these secret plans by her really soon. I'm going to get back to the students. We've got Elijah here. Elijah's from Oregon. Elijah just joined us from Oregon, which is really cool. He took the Oregon Trail all the way to the podcast. Nice. Elijah, what's your question for Mayor Rivera?
Well, considering that this podcast event has been nothing but overly serious and stuff that I don't find enjoyable at all, I figure I'll ask something that's less serious and more enjoyable. If you were to write a fantasy novel, what would it be about?
Jesus.
You got to represent for Puerto Rico here. We need like Puerto Rican fantasy novel.
I don't know. Oh boy.
Your constituents are like really judging creativity points here for Maria's fantasy novel. What kind of fantasy do you enjoy? Do you enjoy the superhero movies? Do you enjoy like?
I don't even turn on the TV. No. I seriously, the one thing I do for myself, which I started doing recently, is boxing.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and my trainer, I'm just doing it to be healthy. But he's like, you're going to be the first mayor who's going to box someone. I'm like, absolutely not. This is just exercise. I don't know what my fantasy novel would look like. That's a tough one.
How about a girl who's in a community that was all white dominated politics until Mayor James Diosa got involved, and then it's a little more diversity in a community that went from bankrupt to non, and now having the first Latina mayor.
Yeah, that could be it. I do tell everybody I am going to write a book at some point, and I'm like on chapter 12, but it has to do with, get ready for this, all the men that reach out to me, and it's disgusting.
Oh, okay. So I was wondering if that was in a supportive way. It's not in a supportive way.
Well, I have tons of men supporting me, but then you have all these other men that just, and they're all married. So I'm like, I'm going to write a book at some point about these stories.
Interesting. I have friends in politics, and some of my friends in politics who are women have expressed to me that they feel like they are less approached or approachable because they're in politics, and they feel like they may be intimidating. You don't have that effect.
So I have to say that after I became mayor, it stopped. But prior to that, yeah. So I think like the intimidation part is there now. But prior to that, when I was up and running, yeah, I had tons of men trying to reach out to me.
I want to say to everybody in this room, I have a lot of Dominican students, I feel like, in this room. And you are so lucky that you don't have to deal with this Puerto Rican swag that Mayor Rivera and I have to deal with all the time. We have this Puerto Rican swag and we can't help it. We get approached by everybody. And fortunately for y'all, you don't have to deal with that.
Roberto, are you calling yourself swag, bro?
I'm saying it is what it is. It is what it is. It's the
Roberto. Roberto, you're a geek.
John Hell, it's not your turn yet. It's Billy's turn. So you can stuff it. Billy, what's your question for Mayor Rivera?
Hi. Are you surprised I remember my question?
You have to prove to me that you remembered your question. You've yet to demonstrate that.
Okay, right. My question is, did you take becoming a mayor as an accomplishment, and how did you celebrate, like, personally?
How else could you take becoming mayor? Like, in what way is it not?
It was definitely an accomplishment. Definitely an accomplishment. How did we celebrate? It was hard because of COVID, right? But we did set up a stage at a place here in Central Falls. We didn't make it public until I officially won, because if we made it public, it was going to be way overpacked. But we did have a little celebration.
So when we workshopped questions, I think one of the things that Billy wanted to get at is, was there like a more like how did the fam react? How did people back, you know, I don't even know that you have extended fam in Puerto Rico. I would assume so, but I don't want to make that assumption. But like, what was the reactions privately, or the ones that you would be willing to share that were, you know, behind the scenes?
Yeah, they were happy. My family was happy. I had family travel here. Because of my campaign, I lived in Chicago for 10 years, so I still have a brother there. My brother came. I have a sister in Florida. She came. I have a sister in New Jersey. She came. So the family was excited. They still question, how did this all happen? Because nobody in my family is an elected official. So they still question, like, where the heck did she want to be? You know, where the heck did she get the idea of running for mayor? But it happened. And we're here.
Yeah, you're the pride of a lot of people. You're breaking those glass ceilings. When you're breaking those glass ceilings, so many other people just have so much more upward mobility because of that leadership, because of you even daring to take the next step. So a lot of people really owe you levels of appreciation that you probably can't even process yet, because you're so busy working on the next level of agenda. Yes. Yanhel, what's your question for Mayor Rivera?
Oh, my question is, if you were to be a mayor in any Puerto Rican city, what would it be? What would you change, and why?
I love it.
I probably want to be the governor, not the mayor. But if I was to be the mayor, it would have to be my town, Cidra, just because I already know that community. I know the town. What would I change? That town is a pretty well clean town. I'm not sure what I would change in the city of Cidra, because it's just such a loving community. Probably clean it up a little bit in Los Montes, because it's not like a city like San Juan. It's like the mountains.
Yeah.
Just clean it up a little bit. I just I have a bigger vision for Puerto Rico than just.
Oh, I also have another question.
Go ahead, Yanel.
Do you think Lil Nas X is cute?
Who?
Lil Nas X. Hold on, let me just.
I told you, you have to bring props if you're gonna ask about Lil Nas X.
Okay, ready.
Who's
Lil Nas X? This guy, he's sexy as hell. To be honest,
yeah.
You think he's cute?
He's famous for singing Old Town Road, the country song, the country rap song that came out last summer. That was
He's cute.
All right, thanks.
So your opinion
is actually a fact.
The headline when I publish this podcast is going to be, is Lil Nas X cute, right? And it takes away, okay, thank you, Yanel. Yanel also brought up something else that was interesting. And I noted in your response, you said that you would probably run for governor of Puerto Rico. So like many places around us, like many local governments that we have around, the governor of Puerto Rico has at times demonstrated that their vote might be for sale, right? And we see this again in very current, in very local politics where you can get some kickbacks, whether it's campaign contributions or whatever. Do you have any safeguards in place for yourself to protect your own integrity as you move forward from the NRA, for example, or anybody else? I don't want to make the NRA seem evil, because I know different students have different opinions, but
I think transparency goes a long way. Like, being honest and transparent, that goes a long way. I think that's why I've received so much respect from many elected officials. Like, I got $1,000 donations from Republicans. Who does that when I run as a Democrat, right? And I have my ideology about things are very different from a Republican. So I think it has to do with just me, you know, staying on topic, staying committed. It's about the community. It's not about me. And being transparent. I think Puerto Rico's in a unique, tough situation. And we've seen that for like the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, they've gone through a lot. They've gone through a lot. But politics in the last few years has not been pretty.
They have a lot of paper towels, though. So that's cool. Cam, what's your question for Mayor Rivera?
What were the specific emotions that you had when you first got elected for mayor?
I don't think everything happened so quick. Like, that day I was so busy because I was just out in the community, just speaking to people, trying to making sure that people were going out to vote. It wasn't until the next day that I sat at my house on the table that I said to myself, damn, I'm the mayor of the city. Like, I won this campaign, which means now I have a lot more work to do. And I cried because no one in my family ever expected this. I didn't think, you know, I'm not going to say I didn't think I wasn't going to win, because I think from the beginning, the favors were always on my side. But again, this wasn't something that I was ambitious about. So my emotions are still everywhere, as you can tell.
You said you weren't ambitious. And yeah, you wear your emotions on your sleeves, which is dope, because I think there's definitely relatability that comes from that. But were you even surprised? Because I'd be surprised if you were surprised, right? Like, it was definitely a big achievement, and it must have been relieving to finally cross that finish line. But it
was.
You had it though, right? Like,
yeah, I think, you know, even the council races, like, we didn't run a campaign to not win. We ran a campaign to win.
Right.
If I knew from the beginning that I was going to have a hard challenge, or that my possibilities were not going to be the possibilities that I had, I probably would have not decided to run. But I knew what the possibility was. I knew that this community wanted me to run, and this is why I ran. And we won with 76% of the votes.
I mean, that's pretty significant.
It is.
That's pretty significant.
It is.
So there's a lot of people, and I can't believe some people still have that thought. And while this group is mixed between all over the political map, this particular group of students, mm-hmm. none of them are those people where where that ideology still exists about, I heard this a lot when Hillary Clinton was running. Now, there's a number of things that I didn't like about Hillary, but one of them wasn't the fact that can a woman hold office because of their temperament or whatever. But these are the things that still exist, and you still hear this when women are running. So I love that 76%, what 76% of your population says to that ideology. You know what I mean?
Can I tell you that the amount of youth that we registered to vote, that wanted to vote, that were calling us, they were calling my campaign office because they wanted to be part of this campaign. Like, I think that's amazing because it's about our youth. It's, you are the future. You have every possibility to do whatever the heck you want to do and use your voice. So I love the fact that we had so many young ones reach out to us and say, we want to be part of this campaign. How can we get involved? Besides that, we have a large Puerto Rican community here that had never voted in their life.
Jada, I'm going back to you in a moment. And anybody else, please put in the chat if you want me to go back to you for round two. I'm probably going to let Mayor Rivera off a little bit early because of the contact that I had. I know she has other meetings. So I'm going to get to her shout outs and everything. But if you have another question and you want to get a fire round in, please let me know. Otherwise, Jada, up to you.
Okay. Now.
Jada. I don't know how we hold the number one spot.
When listen, I'm trying Jada. To remember.
This is called dead air, Jada.
Just think of one.
All right. So, Jada, I'm going to come back to you.
No!
Jada, I'm going to come back to you. Please be ready. Sabdiel, what's your question?
A serious question. Which city, in your opinion, is better? Is it Central Falls, Providence, or Pawtucket?
How? You know what she's going to... Okay.
This is a tough answer. Central
I know what
Falls.
Saying,
and if you have I'm not been, curious. Central Falls.
He just wanted to put you... He just wanted to make you public enemy for Pawtucket and Providence. Like, that was...
But I love Pawtucket, and I love Providence. I visit often.
You're not responsible right now for telling us what's dope about Pawtucket or Providence. Tell us what's dope about Central Falls.
The community. The people here, you know, our businesses. Every business on Broad Street and Dexter Street, at least every other business is a business that is owned by a Latino that you're going to be able to walk into and eat the type of food that you want. You're going to be greeted in your language. Like, it's the community who make this community dope.
I appreciate that. I expected your answer to straight be about food because the food in Central Falls is a step ahead. So yes, thank you. I'm going to Jada. Jada, do you remember?
Yes, I do. Okay. So as Latinas, right? You too, Roberto. which type of Hispanic dessert do you like more, flan or tres leche?
That's a tough one. I like them both, but I'd have to say flan.
Mm. Okay, I prefer flan, right? And Mayor Rivera, where do we get flan in Central Falls? What's the best spot to get flan?
You can get flan at my house. No, you can get flan at La Casona.
Next Steambox podcast is at Mayor Rivera's house. We're going to get flan or we're going to go to La Casona.
It's on.
we gonna hold you to this. Like, there's gonna be like 8 students outside your door. Also though, I have to, like, when I'm answering this question, yes, I prefer flung, but I have to say, we took this podcast to Boston, to the Boston Burger Company, this huge, like, it's a chain and they're amazing, and we did a podcast with their engineer, and our students pitched freak milkshakes to their engineer. And one of my students, Dominican student named Brendalee, who's a senior now at Alvarez High School, Brendalee said, what y'all need is a tres leches milkshake with churros. And the dude was like, uh-huh, go on. And he started taking notes. And the dude was like, can we put like a choco taco on top? Hello, you're lumping people in with Dominican. It's a thing. Okay, whatever, right? Yo. This is on their menu right now. A student from this podcast made a Tres Leches milkshake that you can get if you go to Boston Burger Company. So shout out to Brenda Lee. I'm going to take that chance every time somebody even brings up Tres Leches, because that's a thing that we did.
That's amazing. And I can't wait to try it. I'm writing it down so that I can go buy it.
I'm saying to the world who listens to this podcast, Google Boston Burger Company and Google their, I think they call it the Choco Taco, whatever the, Google their Choco Taco milkshake and you will see the milkshake that Brenda Lee invented, and it's so dope. Once again, I appreciate you, Jada. You're the star. I appreciate all the students here. Isaiah damn near had his month in February where he got all the love in the world. So many good questions. But back to Maria Rivera, who do you want to give shout outs to? Who do you want to give love to in your community? Like who should, you know, who should feel the love? Is there a sister? Is there somebody who you want to give a shout out to?
My kids, Christian and Daniela, who I take a lot of time away from. My kids, they're teenagers. They're 17 and 19. And there are times where I don't see them throughout the whole day. So that's who my shout out is going to go out to. I love you guys with all my heart.
Yo, shout out to the babies. Shout out to the babies. Where can the world read more about Mayor Maria Rivera? Where can we go and see stuff? Do you have a website that you want to point us to or anything like that?
Sure. It's the City of Central Falls website. So it's Central Falls RI. That's the website, or our social media pages, which is the City of Central Falls. My personal page, which is Maria Rivera or Mayor Maria Rivera. There's two pages where I'm constantly updating and posting information.
I want to give a shout out to our mutual friend, Miss Sabina Matos, who is now the new lieutenant governor in Rhode Island. Are you ever going to turn your gaze over to that governor's seat?
We're taking it one day at a time. I've had many people reach out to me about different possibilities, but I want to make sure that I do what I have to do in this city, and then we're going to take it from there.
Once again, we appreciate you so much. Steambox Youth from Highlander Charter School, if you could please unmute your microphones and say peace out to the world.
Roberto sucks. Don't listen to him.
Roberto does not suck. Yo, man. Yo, I want to tell you how much Roberto sucks right after this.
Yo, Drake sucks.
Hold on. Jada, what should people go do?
No. I'm saying it today.
All right, go ahead.
Adios. And go eat a taco.
Adios and go get a taco. That's our new outline. I love it.
Wow.
Peace.